We'll go right to the word of the Lord. If you'll stand with me, Genesis chapter 37. We want to look at what God's saying to us today. In verse number 3, Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other children because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. So one day, Jacob had a special gift made for Joseph, a beautiful robe. But his brothers hated Joseph because their father loved him more than the rest of them. They could not say a kind word to him. Nice family there, huh? Yeah. One night, Joseph had a dream, and when he told his brothers about it, they hated him more than ever. Listen to his dream, they said. We were out in the field, tying up bundles of grain. Suddenly, my bundle stood up, and your bundles all gathered around and bowed down low before me. His brothers responded, "So you think you'll be our king, do you? Do you actually think you will reign over us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dreams and the way he talked about them. And soon Joseph had another dream. My goodness, when you look at this, you've got three stages of hate in this passage. And soon Joseph had another dream, and again he told his brothers about it. "Listen, I've had another dream," he said. "The sun, moon, and 11 stars bowed low before me." So this thing just continued to escalate. Now watch this. When Joseph's brothers saw him coming, they recognized him in the distance. And as he approached, they made plans to kill him. "Here comes the dreamer," they said. "Come on, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns. We can tell our father a wild animal has eaten him. Then we'll see what becomes of his dreams." Oh my, "Father, thank you for the truth of your word. We need your help, and we seek your truth in Jesus' name. Amen." You may be seated. I have an alternate title for this. Don't let the process punk you out of your promise, right? We live in a world that's evolved because of those who've had dreams. I mean, think of the Wright brothers and their dream of flight, and think of where that landed us 50 years ago yesterday. I don't know about some of you, but I remember where I was. We were young in ministry, just working in seminary and as a youth pastor in Hartford, Connecticut, and we were hanging out with my family and watching late night television and watching Neil Armstrong put his foot on the moon for the very first time. It was pretty exciting. You think about the dreamers that make this kind of stuff happen. I could speak of Edison and the dream of harnessing electricity, of Alexander Graham Bell, and of communication, and think about the communication you have at your fingertips right now because we had a dreamer. And there's more technology and computer skill sets and memory in that little phone that you're carrying around than they had on that Apollo 11 mission that landed on the moon. Think about that. I mean, they had to type in each little step and every little program as they went on their journey on a little keypad inside that module to get them where they were going. Think of Bill Gates and his dream for global communication for the internet. Wow. The computers in every home. The social dreamers who have shaped our world. Martin Luther King Jr. had a dream of civil and equal rights for all. Many people who shaped and formulated the world we're living in today. God is the giver of great dreams. And when God wants to change a community, wants to do something significant, when God wants to do something new, he first starts by placing a dream in somebody's heart to do that very thing. And throughout time, God's always given his people a dream. I could speak of Jacob and how he dreamed and saw a ladder open to the heavens with angels ascending and descending, of Mary and Joseph and how they were warned in a dream to protect Jesus and hide him as a child because the intent of Herod was to kill him. We know that Peter was given a God-given dream, and that dream is why we are assembled in this room here today. While he was in a trance, he received the dream that he was to go and preach to the Gentiles. That's us. The Romans, of all people, who were their oppressors. We're going to go to the household of Cornelius. Calvary Christian Center is here today because God gave a man a dream. We could speak of disturbing dreams in the Old Testament, of world leaders, like the disturbing dream of Nebuchadnezzar, where he couldn't sleep. And God disturbed the sleep of Pharaoh, one of the pharaohs, and he couldn't sleep. His rest left him. God's placed a dream inside the heart of every person. So I want to look at the process you have to endure before dreams come to pass. So many people never see their dream happen because they never understand the process of what happens when God gives you a dream. The word says that Joseph was his father's favorite son. His father prepared him for this dream. And how did he prepare him for the dream that even his dad seemed sensed that he had? How did he prepare him? The word says he created a coat of many colors and put it on Joseph. The coat was a symbol of the father's favor and the blessing that was to be given to Joseph. So Jacob prepared him for what God wanted to say and do through his life. Anytime favor and blessing comes into your life, it's a sign that God's about to open up for you a dream. He doesn't just give you favor and blessing without a purpose, without a reason. God always prepares you with favor and blessing to dream the dream that he wants to give you for your future. And the word says that this coat of many colors was put on Joseph, and I can see that in my mind. In other words, it was not supposed to be beige or fade into the background. He wanted his son to walk around in a loud coat so that everybody who saw him looked at him and would say, that man is favored by his father. Look what his daddy did for him. Understand, when God begins to bless you, when God begins to favor you really well, it's hard to hide it. You know what I'm saying? It's hard to conceal it. When the blessing and the favor is on your life, people just begin noticing. Something's going on with them. And they don't always like it. Not everybody's going to applaud it when God's favoring you. But you can't help it when God favors you. God's about to wrap some of his blessings in a coat of favor and blessing on his church. You attempt to become inconspicuous. You attempt to be low-key. But the more you attempt that, see, God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. He made that statement. And the word says that he was wrapped up in a coat of favor and a coat of blessing. Then the word says that Joseph dreamed a dream. And I want to speak about that dream for a minute. He dreamed a dream, and he saw himself out in a field. And as he's walking through the field, the sheaves or the harvest would bow down to him. In other words, his dream was not just for a new car or a new home. He had a dream about harvest authority. He saw the harvest bowing its knee wherever he went, because he was given harvest authority. And I believe we're living in a day of the last harvest, when God wants to bring in that final harvest. I'm going to preach a little bit more about that tonight. I'm going to talk about the rain and the necessity for the outpouring of rain in order to be the great harvest. And I believe that God is desirous to place in the hearts of his people a dream of harvest authority. We need to start looking beyond ourselves and look at the fields that are white, all ready to harvest. Wherever you go, there should be a harvest of souls coming to know Jesus between Sundays. Not waiting for somebody to wander in on a Sunday who doesn't know Jesus, but between Sundays in the marketplace that God's placed you. Every knee shall bow before the Lion and the Lamb. And it says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, Jesus is the Lord. So if we're going to see a true harvest come into our church, then God has to birth a dream in the hearts of his people for that harvest. That's part of what happens in our connection groups. We're working together to recognize we have an obligation to our neighbors and our friends and our coworkers and our schoolmates. Before you see the harvest in your family, God places a dream in your heart of that harvest to bow and be brought in before the master. Because sheaves have always been a symbol of lives coming to know the Lord. And before you see a harvest in this community, God has got to have a church that says, we can. It's possible to see this harvest come in our community, by the hundreds and even by thousands. And it all starts with the dream of harvest authority. We have to think differently in this hour. We need believers, a church that has a harvest authority dream that says it's possible to take back our school systems. It's possible to fill Washington, D.C. with people who love God and respect his word instead of trample it under their feet, because the only job they've ever known is a professional politician. And all they do is make speeches and get you to vote for them and get wealthy between the time they took office and the time they left on a salary. And if you do the math, you can't figure out how they leave office multimillionaires. Well, I can figure out how they do. Yeah. We need to transform that place out there. We need people like our founders who put God first, who loved their families, who took care of jobs, who only went to Washington when needed, and they weren't dependent on salaries and benefits in order to live high on the hog, and they were just serving our country. We need a new mentality. I'm praying for a fresh breeze of God's Spirit in America. We're not trying to get out of here with our suitcases packed, wanting the rapture to get us out of here. There's a harvest that needs to be reaped before there's the rapture of the church. And somebody actually needs to dream that we can reap thousands of people to come to know Jesus. That means not only dream it, but then get up and go to work in the field where you've been assigned. And recognize the people around you need what you have. The word says that when Joseph received this harvest dream, he went and told it to his brothers. When you get a harvest dream, be surprised when some of your brothers don't receive it. Because he went to his brothers and told them about his dream. And it's interesting to me that they didn't like it one bit. No, they hated him because of his dream. But I love Joseph because the very next verse says, and Joseph dreamed yet again, another dream. That's awesome. The Holy Spirit is present to encourage you. Even if people don't believe what God's placed in your heart, dream on anyhow. Keep on dreaming. Joseph dreamed yet another dream. His brothers were angry already because he already told them what the first dream was. And the second dream was bigger than the first one. God's dreams are always progressive. The dreams are larger from glory to glory, from faith to faith. He doesn't want you going back and living in your yesterday. He says, I'm doing a new thing, and it's greater than anything you've ever had in your past. And the word says, so he went, and he's excited about his declaration. And Joseph said, the first dream I have, the harvest, the sheaves, a type of people coming to God, was they were bowing to before me. In the second dream, the sun and the moon and the stars were bowing down to me, and his brothers were already angry. The Holy Spirit reminded me of what other preachers have said about this. They have said that, you know, Joseph probably should have kept that dream to himself. But then the Spirit reminded me that there would have been never a good season for his brothers to get happy about his dream, because no matter when he told them, they weren't going to be pleased. If they're going to get angry, just tell them anyways. You have relatives who don't like what's happened in your life. You're born again. You try not to brag about what God's doing for you, but nonetheless, you recognize that God's making a difference in your life. And when my mom gave her heart to Jesus, now her brothers and sisters weren't applauding her. They were giving her a tough time for a while. But you know what? Every one of them is serving, went on to serve the Lord and went on to heaven because of her faithful testimony in front of them. See, he's blessing you while people are still having parties and doing whatever they want to do in life. But if you're going to share it, listen, some of them are going to get angry anyways. You might as well go ahead and say, not only is God using me, he's promoted me, he's given me all I can ever dream of. They're angry. Go ahead and tell them the whole story. Tell them what God's done. Praise the name of the Lord. Give him glory in your testimony. And the word says that one day, his father said to him, Joseph, now go find your brothers. They're out tending to my flocks. He's in this big old bright technicolor coat and favors all over him. Go out there and check out their status in the fields. And it says that his brothers saw him afar, and as he came their way, they conspired to kill him and throw him into a pit. Notice they said, here comes the dreamer. Here he comes. He was not known by his name. They called him by his dream. The dreamer's coming, not our brother Joseph, the dreamer. You'll be known by your dream. And as the dreamer came their way, they conspired. They sought to kill him and throw him into a pit. Now, this says two powerful things. The fact that they wanted to kill him and conspired against him says two amazing things. First, they were smart enough to understand that the dream was going to come to pass. They got that figured out. Because you don't conspire to plot to kill somebody if the dream isn't going to happen. And the fact is, they conspired to kill him. It was an indication that the enemy believed that dream was going to happen. You see, when you're allowed to go through the process, let me encourage you. Just because there's pressure and adversity on the journey, It is not an indication that God's dream isn't going to manifest. In fact, it's a for sure manifestation that that dream is going to come to pass. Because in the wilderness, it's not punishment. God is using that to prepare you for his promise. God was preparing Joseph through all of these hits and all of these hurts. The pressure could very well be an indication that your enemy knows you are closer to the dream than you've ever been. The enemy doesn't fight a dream that has no possibility. The fact that the enemy wanted to conspire to stop Joseph means they knew Joseph's dream was for real, and they resented it. And second, not only were they smart enough to know that the dream was going to come to pass, they were stupid enough to think they could stop it. That's what's always amazing, right? I want to help you today. When God gives you a dream in your heart, no one can stop it. It doesn't matter if they move toward you or away from you. If God said it, it's going to happen. No one's no competes with God's yes. If God says yes, then yes it is. And I believe you've got a dream. Everyone who serves him should have one manifesting. If God says yes, then yes it shall be. No one can stop God's dream. And they were smart enough to know it was going to happen, but stupid enough to think they could conspire and stop it and halt it. If God said it's going to happen, people can't stop the dream. They attempt to stop the dreamer. They said, we're going to strip off his coat. We're going to finish him off. We're going to kill him, throw him into a pit. Two things. We're going to take his coat. That's the outward symbol of his blessing and favor. And if we take the outward symbol of blessing and favor, then we're going to throw him into the pit. And the pit, according to the word, was a dry well, a cistern. There was no water in it. It was used to be a place to store water during the rainy season. And that's what you're going to have to go through before your dream comes to pass. At some point, and that's for everybody, the enemy will attempt to strip you of your outward symbol so that people, when they look at you, looks like God's favor is no longer on you. God's blessing appears to have departed. Well, look at them. He used to have it. God used to bless him and had his hand on him. Doesn't seem like he's got it anymore. Sooner or later, before the dream comes to pass, every outward symbol of blessing may be lifted off your life like it was in Joseph's time. And that's bad enough. The external favor leaves. That's part of the process. We're all going to go through this process. The enemy throws you into a pit. That's the second part. An empty well where there is no water. So there's no internal refreshing and no external sign of any blessing. That's where most people quit. That's where they give up. That's where they make the fundamental error of throwing in the towel. This is where most lose it. This is where they bail out. When it looks like God's not with me anymore, I don't feel anything inside. Nothing outwardly seems to be happening. And then you attempt to get excited and motivated on the inside, but there's no water. The springing up of the well has ceased. Nothing is working inwardly, and there's no apparent blessing on the outside. But the dream is still working, even if they strip off the outside and you don't feel anything on the inside. If God said it, he's going to bring it to pass. Do we have any dreamers in this house? Well, you're going to take some journeys in the wilderness before you get there. So that's a fact. It's a process. You believe his word, even when it's dry. Even if you don't see any outward symbol of anything is breaking through. And you get nervous and you get impatient and you get wondering, and can you still believe this? Nothing's happening. I don't know if it's ever going to happen. And then all of a sudden, when you are ready, then God opens the windows. Amen? I have heard forever, the test comes to teach you something. Well, you come through the test, you're supposed to learn something, right? When I went to seminary, my professors never gave me a test to teach me something. They taught me the lesson first. Then they administrated the test. So if you're going through a test, what this means is you already know how to come through it. You've already been taught the lessons. God has been showing you on the journey. The teacher doesn't teach during the test. The teacher is silent during the test. But what he placed in you ought to be enough proof. If God is allowing me to be tested, it means he's observed me and he's concluded you have what it takes. So I'm going to administer the test. And if you pass the test, then the dream will come to pass. You ought to stir up that dream here today. Come up out of that dry well. God's not through with you. Amen. Doesn't matter what they've stripped off of you or taken away from you. God is still God in your life. Now, his brothers, the household of faith, they didn't see any value in Joseph's dream. The word says, then the Ishmaelites came along at a very opportune moment. And you understand who they were, right? Abraham had a son by a bondwoman, a servant of his wife, Hagar. And Abraham had the son of promise with Sarah, that was Isaac. But through the bondwoman, he had Ishmael. So he has a son, and you look at this, Abraham has a son, then Isaac has a son, and his name is Jacob. And by the bondwoman, there's this group of children coming from the lineage of Ishmael. And his descendants were the Ishmaelites. And now those were people who were not in the direct line of covenant that God made with Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, and Jacob, and all that came out of that lineage. The Ishmaelites were blessed of God and promises were made to them, but they weren't going to be in the lineage and covenant that would bring Jesus into the world. The covenant is a new and better lasting covenant. Now, don't think that when you have a dream that it's only going to be believers in the household of faith that are going to see the value of your dream. Family did not see any value in what Joseph was saying. They said, let's kill him. And we'll tell daddy a wild beast killed him and ate him. My goodness. Wow. But when the Ishmaelites saw him, these who were not in the covenant lineage, they said, he's worth something to us. We'll give you 20 pieces of silver for him because we see value in him. Now, don't think that the only people that are going to assist you are going to be people who attend church. The Holy Spirit made me to know sometimes it's an unbeliever who will see more value in you than some of your believer friends. I'm amazed when I go throughout the community, people walk up, I don't even know who they are, and say, God's doing great things in the church life over there. I thank God for what he's doing in your ministry there. And I said, do you attend our church? No. Oh, okay. Well, they're hearing about it. But many think it always has to be from those around us in the household of faith. It should be, I said it should be, but not always, because some people default to that old jealous spirit like Joseph's brothers had. There are some believers who succumb to that. We've entered into a new dimension with the presence of the Holy Spirit, and God has resources. We need to grab this, folks, that we have not yet seen. Exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or see. The last person you might think goes to help you becomes the instrument through which God blesses your dream. It's amazing. I've watched people who don't attend our church do amazing things. What? You're going to do what? Yeah, I just want to do that and be a blessing. When our own didn't do that and stand up, right? The Ishmaelites sold him into Egyptian slavery. Joseph's brothers thought if they took his coat and his external symbolism of favor and blessing, that there'd be no favor left on him. Be careful how you judge people outwardly, because they just might be going through something. It might be a difficult journey they're in right now. You look at a person outwardly and say, well, it doesn't seem like there's much favor on that person's life. That doesn't mean that the dream still isn't working deep down inside of them. It might be in this little season, God is getting them ready for the promotion. Be careful how you treat people just because it doesn't look like there's any isn't any favor on that person. They strip him of his coat. They're saying to him, see, you're worthless. One thing about wearing a coat of favor, after you wear it so long, you've been wrapped in the blessing of God and the lineage that you've been given for so long. You may go through seasons when it seems like it's not on you, but the favor of God and the blessing of God has a way of going from the outside and transferring back into the inside. I can see Joseph as he walks into Egypt. He's walking a little differently than the rest of the slaves among the Ishmaelites because he had worn his father's coat of favor for so long. And even though he didn't have it on that day any longer as an external garment, there was something on the inside that said, I know who I am. In the middle of this mess, I will still hold my head high. I throw my shoulders back. I belong to the family and the lineage of Abraham. I'm a king's kid. And even though it doesn't appear to be that way right now, when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Perhaps you're in a set of circumstances today, and it doesn't look outwardly like you're blessed. But you ought to throw your shoulders back and hold your head up high and say, it's on the inside. And if you get it on the inside, it will manifest. It may take a while, but it will manifest. Even when you don't have the coat, will you still believe? Even when it's not on you the way you think it should be, do you still believe? Are you listening? No one is applauding you. You don't appear to be blessed. No one is working with the dream, but the dream is still working. Will you still believe? Because when you get your coat stripped, you say, well, that must mean it's over. When the coat lifts, you have to believe like you've never believed and worship God like you've never worshiped him. So Joseph is in Egypt, and though he didn't have on an outer coat, everything he did prospered. No matter where they placed him, success. He becomes the leader of the servants in the household of Potiphar. And while he's there, then Potiphar's wife takes a liking to him and he runs away from her because I'm not going to dishonor my God and do something I'll regret. And then she accuses him of rape. What a horrible accusation. So they throw him into prison. He's in a dungeon. And there he's in the jail and there's a baker and there's a butler. It's like a Netflix movie, man. A butler, a baker, and Joseph. We're all in this little prison, right? And while they're in jail, these two, the baker and the butler, they have a dream. And if you want to get your dream interpreted, you need to get around someone who has dreams. I would not attend a church. I won't get around people and allow them in my inner circle who have no dreams. No. If you're going to see your dream manifest, get around people who are acquainted with God's heart, with dreams and have their own dreams. I love to hang around people with dreams because if nothing else, they'll help keep my dream alive because they're encouragers. They're people who will pull for you and believe God to help you through whatever you're facing. So they came to Joseph and said, we hear you interpret dreams. We've had a dream. If you can help us with our dream, maybe we can help you with your dream. And he said, well, tell me what your dreams are. And they told Joseph. And he prayed, sought God. The gift of interpretation begins to manifest in his life. And he calls them in and he says, boys, I've got good news and I've got bad news. Good news is for the butler. Lord says, you'll be restored to the sight of Pharaoh in 3 days. The bad news is for the baker. Lord says, you'll be dead in 3 days. You read in the word that Joseph immediately turns his attention to the butler and he starts talking to him. He doesn't say anything more to the baker. There's no need. It's over for him. He's done. So he says to the butler, when you get up there in 3 days, remember me. And the word says he was released to serve Pharaoh again in those 3 days, exactly like the dream was interpreted, but he forgot Joseph. So he's continuing to wallow in that prison. But Pharaoh has a disturbing dream come to him in the night. His dream was so disturbing that he calls together all of his magicians and psychics and says, tell me what this dream means. It's keeping me awake night after night. It was about seven fat cows and about seven skinny cows. The seven skinny cows ate the seven fat cows. Wow. What does that mean? Well, the magicians and the psychics, they couldn't interpret the dream. So he starts killing them. Pharaoh says, okay, you're worthless to me. Bye. Finally calls in the butler and says, you tell me what this means. And if you can't tell me what it means, you're dead next. And all of a sudden, the butler remembered Joseph, you know? But wait a minute. While I might not have the interpretation, I think I know somebody who does. He's in prison, right? He's named Joseph, and he's a great interpreter of dreams. I just happen to remember that now. And they pulled Joseph up out of the prison, and he goes and stands before the Pharaoh. There's value in your dream. It says, when he went in before Pharaoh, he said, I don't even want you to tell me what your dream was. I will tell you what your dream was, and then I will tell you what your dream means. And Joseph said, you dreamed about seven fat cows and seven skinny cows, and that means there are going to be 7 years of plenty with an incredible harvest. Then there are going to be 7 years of famine and devastation. And by the way, that's a picture of the Great Tribulation. Just before the Great Tribulation was the last 7 years, there'll be a tremendous harvest, a fantastic bounty. That's what we've entered into today. That's what's happening. When the trumpet sounds and the church goes, then the 7 years of skinny cows begins. Right now, we ought to be a people with a harvest dream. And we ought to be saying, we need to be harvesting souls. If there was ever a day of harvest, it's today. It's called harvest authority. And the economic system of Egypt was now under the direct rule of Joseph. And things really began to go crazy after the first 7 years of great increase in harvest. You see, God will allow the worldly systems to go into crisis to elevate the person with the God-given dream. When people will not listen, God says, I know how to create an atmosphere where the world will listen to somebody who has a dream for the harvest. And the word says they were afraid when Joseph predicted this coming famine. But he was not fearful at all. Things that make the world afraid, terrorism, battles that we have to fight, stuff that makes the world shake and tremble, we ought not be afraid. Why? We have harvest authority. These are opportunities for the church to step up and step into the middle of crisis and say, we've got answers for you. He already had the dream. And in the dream, he saw the harvest. And even though he would go through a famine, he saw the harvest bowing down. So he was fearless because he knew there was going to be more than enough if they just followed the patterns and instructions that God had given him. Now, there are two anointings you have to give birth to before your dream manifests. Two anointings. Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh. He named his second son Ephraim. Manasseh means, the Lord has made me forget the pain of my father's house. Before you get to your dream, you're going to have to give birth to an anointing to forget. How many of you would like an anointing to forget the pain that people put you through? You need to have that anointing. You're going to have to put that behind you. Chaplain Ustra, a good friend of mine who's in the area this week, was telling me that of something that we've been studying a little bit privately, and that's dealing with soul wounds or moral wounds of the heart that people who are serving our country have been afflicted with. Moral wounds can happen to anybody. Not quite the same as post-traumatic stress. But moral wounds have to do with something that's affected the formation of your character and the things you may have had to do that have compromised that character. And we need to have an anointing in the church that helps us to forget the pain that we've gone through. The one that heals the brokenhearted manifests himself exclusively among his people. You don't want to hinder, listen, you want to be hindered anymore from going where God wants you to go, but that kind of damage will keep you from ever achieving it. Some people can't get where God wants them to go because they still live in that hurt. They still live in that unforgiveness of yesterday. Before the dream manifests, you need to birth Manasseh, the power to forgive. And if there was ever something manifested in Joseph's character, that's exactly what manifested in him. Then he had Ephraim. His name means to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Wow. So many people say, well, Lord, would you please move me? I don't like being in this afflicted land of California anymore. Would you get me out of here? Take me out of this bad situation? Would you change my circumstances? But God says, you're not going to reach your dream until you learn how to be fruitful in the land of your affliction. I will not change your circumstances. I want you to be fruitful and praise me and serve me and stop whining to me. I want you to manifest joy and speak faith right where you are, not when things change, not when I brought you out. In the land of affliction, God wants us to be fruitful wherever he's planted us. He's saying, you won't see the dream until you go through these two seasons. And outwardly, no apparent blessing. Inwardly, as dry as you can be. And that's when you just keep going and you keep on believing. You have a harvest dream for your family members. You've been living with an unsaved spouse. You've been praying for a wayward child. You've been praying for years. No change. You have the dream of harvest authority. You may go through seasons when it looks like nothing is happening at all, but the Lord wants you to know that the power of an unforgettable dream is this. If you won't give up on it, God will bring it to pass. Like the student who applied to the three military universities that we have, hoping and praying that he could get into one of those academies, and each one turned him down. He was heartbroken. The student's heart was crushed because he felt like that's where I wanted to serve and that's what I wanted to do. I was not accepted. I was disappointed, but I have a dream to serve. But he got what we call resiliency, bounce back, the ability to bounce back. And he went on. And even though those three particular institutions said no, he went on to continue to serve our country in capacities that he never thought he'd ever have an opportunity to use. It's like our Apollo 11 astronauts that landed on the moon. It wasn't many months before that. The three other astronauts had been burned to death on the launch pad during a practice and trial rehearsal for a launch into space. And they could have quit. They could have thrown in the towel. They could have said no. But no, we're going to continue with the dream. We're going to continue in spite of setbacks and losses. I love what Joseph said when he revealed himself to his brothers. After he'd been through all of this stuff, he says, don't be angry with yourselves. The Lord allowed all of this. He just used you. One translation says, if it had not happened, I would not be where I am. And stuff you had to go through is what made you who you are. How can you be mad at people who put you through it? They were used by God to make you who you are. Joseph said, you meant it for my evil, but God meant it for my good. So he reversed the intention. He sent it out. God turned it around, grabbed blessings on the way back in. You designed it to destroy me, but God used it to prepare me for greater service, to prepare me to rule and prepare me for harvest, to save my family and to save others around the world. Someone ought to thank God today. Amen? Thank God. So don't let the process punk you out of your promise. I like what Joseph said. He said, boys, go back home and get Daddy and bring him here. I'm going to bless my family. He said, I'm going to give you the best land to live on. I'm going to give you all that you need to survive and to multiply. He said, it's time for harvest authority, but I know who you are. So he leaves them with a caveat warning when they're on their way back to go get Daddy, Jacob. See that you don't fall out among yourselves along the way. See, the Lord will grant us harvest authority. He's saying, see to it in the body of Christ, you don't fall out along the way among yourselves, that you don't become so nitpicky saying, let's throw that one into the pit. Joseph said, I know how you are. I know exactly how you act. It's harvest time. This is time for God's blessing. Don't start fighting each other and falling out along the way before you get to your harvest. That's true for your marriage. It's true for your family. Don't allow the enemy to cause you to fall out with another just about the time your harvest is to arrive. Because if you let that happen, you can forfeit your harvest. Everything God planned gets thrown over the side. We don't want that to happen. Focus. I'm not going to get my dream stolen. I'm going to achieve it because God put it there. And with his help, it'll come to pass. Just help me pass the tests, Lord. Amen? Just help me. Let's stand together for a moment. Someone's been through something and it's been tough, but the dream is still alive. Amen? And no matter if some have hated you because of your dream, keep on dreaming. If God put it in your heart, even if they strip you of favor, even if they throw you in a dry place, he has power to make it all come to pass. Come up out of the pit. Shake yourself off. Dream again. Devils try to assassinate dreamers. Don't you ever give up. We can change this community. It starts with the dream in the hearts of God's people. Amen. Eyes are closed.